This morning's scripture is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, which you can find in your pew Bible on page 641. And if you don't have a Bible at home, please feel absolutely free to take the one under the chair in front of you. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city.
Thought it was good for those of you who were impatient to just have one verse this morning, not take any more time than necessary. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Now, I don't know if this proverb rings true to you or not, but I can tell you that in the ears of the original hearer, it would have sounded very strange. Because at the time it was written, the most unequivocal demonstration of power was a warrior and an army made up of them. The more powerful the fighting force, the better. In fact, warriors have enjoyed prestige and honor throughout much of history. Elite fighting units have had places of even higher esteem, even fighting units that we would say were less than honorable. There were the Roman legions, the Knights Templar, the Huns, the Vikings, the samurai, the Shaolin monks, the ninja, the Spartans, and in more modern times, the Navy SEALs and Green Berets. To tell a culture surrounded by wars and armies and warriors that a patient man is better than a warrior, that a man who controls his temper is better than one who conquers a city, would have prompted very serious contemplation. Yet this is exactly what the proverb says, that there is strength in being patient that exceeds that of a warrior. And if you can control your temper, you have strength that rivals a warrior who can conquer a defending city. Now, I think to narrow down the focus of this proverb immediately, we can simply state the following. There is power in patience. There is power in patience. A warrior was the epitome of power. He could subdue his enemy. He could render his enemy helpless or injured or even dead. He could have power to overcome those who would oppose him. A warrior was a man of strength. A conqueror of a city was a man of strength. But one who is patient is also a person of strength. Now, battles are usually won by the strongest army, strength being measured in numbers of soldiers or in sophistication or volume of weapons. And all things being equal, if I have twice the number of soldiers than you, I should win the battle. And if I have twice the weapons and ammunition as you, I should win the battle. But the battle is not always won by the strongest side. Sometimes it's won by the more clever. Sometimes it's won by the better strategist. Sometimes it's won by the more patient. The writer is not saying that a patient person will always defeat a warrior, nor that one who controls his temper can withstand an invading army. The writer is simply trying to get us to understand that in the total scheme of things, when all has been measured, when all is said and done, at the end of the day, it's better to be patient than strong. Because patience often leads to victory and success, while strength is not a guarantee of either, and sometimes will even bring defeat. A couple of things we need to recognize right away if we're to appreciate the wisdom of this proverb. First of all, patience is not the same as passivity. Patience is not about doing nothing. It's not about being passive. And if you've ever needed to be patient when you are under pressure to act, you know that patience is anything but passive. Sometimes patience takes greater strength than action. After all, if patience is easy, then everybody would be exercising it, which is certainly not the case. And I don't suppose that this proverb would even exist. But there are times when patience is extremely difficult to exercise. So patience should not be confused with passivity. Passivity is really non-action. It's about doing nothing when something needs to be done. Patience is mostly about timing. Now, when I was growing up, my dad took me fishing many times. And one of the first things he taught me about fishing was that it required patience, that the fish were not nearly as anxious to be caught as I was in catching them. So I needed to be patient, to wait on them, to wait quietly on them, to let the bait stay in the water for more than 9 seconds at a time, to not set the hook too quickly, but give the fish a chance to really take the bait. These are not easy things for a 9-year-old to learn and accept. But patience in fishing often paid off. But it wasn't passivity. It was waiting with a purpose. It was waiting with timing. It seems the whole purpose of patience in fishing is to increase the likelihood that you will catch something. Otherwise, it doesn't seem like there's really any point, unless you happen to just like fishing and you don't really care that much about catching. So patience in a heated argument does not mean saying nothing. It means saying something at the right moment, after you've heard the other person and what they had to say is a good time. Patience means biting your tongue, not cutting it off. It means that you allow things to progress to a certain point, that you don't neglect them indefinitely. So patience is the art of waiting for the right moment. It's not doing nothing. It's about doing something at the right moment under the right circumstances. Now, of course, when we don't exercise patience, we call that impatience. And there are many manifestations of impatience. Let's look briefly at just two. One way we exercise impatience, we see in the second half of this verse. Better a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. A common expression of impatience is anger. And I suppose that if we were to analyze every time we got angry, I suspect that 90% of the time we did, it was when we failed to be patient. Something was not going as quickly as we thought it should, and so we got angry. The guy in the car ahead of us is taking entirely too long to get where he's going. Can he drive any faster? Have you noticed that patience is something that we admire in the driver behind us, but that it's something we find irritating in the driver ahead of us? Isn't that interesting? We also tend to get angry when things aren't going the way we want them to. But it's really about things not going the way we want them to now, at this moment. Just this past week, for example, I had an incident that generated some mild hostility in me. It involved a dispute over a bill. The amount that I owed was different from the amount that the merchant said I owed. Guess who had the higher amount? So I called him up and prepared for a mild altercation. But the person who assisted me was very calm and simply pointed out that the payment I sent in came in after the statement was prepared. No problem. We can get worked up over so many things. And usually it's because we're impatient. We don't want to wait. We don't like the way things are going, when if we were just patient, they would all get sorted out in the end. Not everything, but most things. In addition to anger, a second manifestation of impatience is impulsiveness. Now, impulsiveness is not a good quality in anyone, but for the believer, for the one who's seeking to follow God's lead, it's especially unfortunate. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but God is very big on timing. This was consistent throughout the Bible. God not only purposes to do certain things, but he purposes to do certain things at certain times. Not earlier than, not later than, but right on time. In fact, the Bible records several incidents where tragedy resulted simply because someone was impulsive. They were impatient and could not wait on God. Abraham was promised a child through his wife Sarah, but Abraham got tired of waiting. So he impulsively decided to help God's cause by having a child through someone other than Sarah. And the result of Abraham's impulsiveness was the birth of Ishmael, who would become the father of the Arab race. You only have to read the newspaper today to see what that accomplished. King Saul was to wait for the prophet Samuel to come and present an offering to God before the army went into battle. But he was impulsive and impatient, so he offered the offering himself without waiting for Samuel to arrive. And as a result, Saul's kingship was removed and given to another. When Moses and the Israelites arrived in Kadesh in the desert, the people were very thirsty and there was no water. So God commanded Moses to speak to the rock, and he said that the rock would give water that the people could drink. But Moses was impatient and impulsive, and rather than speaking to the rock, he struck the rock in disobedience to God. And that act of impulsivity caused Moses to be denied entrance into the promised land. Whether it's impatience that leads to anger or impatience that leads to impulsiveness, neither is an expression of God's will in God's way. In the book of James, it's made clear that there's a connection between impatience and anger. In chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." Being quick to listen requires patience. Being slow to speak requires patience. Being slow to anger requires patience. And we should keep in mind that the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, of the nine characteristics, two have to do with patience. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Though it seems strange that the Spirit manifests His power through our self-control, it just means that we allow the Spirit to empower us to control our own spirit. When the Spirit of God is in control, we are not impatient. When the Spirit of God is in control, we are not impulsive. When the Spirit of God is in control, we are not angry over things that are merely inconveniences and annoyances to us. A good example of this proverb is found in the veteran American League umpire, Bill Guthrie, who was one afternoon working behind the plate while the catcher of the visiting team was constantly protesting his calls of balls and strikes. Guthrie endured this for several innings, and then he called a halt to it. But very calmly, very softly, he turned to the catcher and he said to him, "Son, you've been a big help to me today in calling balls and strikes, and I appreciate it. But I think I've got the hang of it now. So I'm going to ask you to go to the clubhouse and show whoever's there how to take a shower." That's the idea. Control over one's anger comes through control over one's spirit. And believers in Christ have one to help them with both. A lifelong survivor of marriage once admitted to a friend, "Okay, it's true, we fight. But honestly, we've never once gone to bed mad. Of course, one year we were up for 3 months." A city can be conquered in one battle or one siege, but our battle with impatience and various manifestations of it will take a lot longer. It will take a lifetime. It's a battle we all must fight, and it can be fought with the help of others, but we must win the battle alone. No one can win it for us. I suspect that if the 2 million inmates in American prisons were interviewed and asked what might have kept them out of prison, I suspect that many of them would say if they had just had more patience, then no crime would have ever been committed. Now, anger is a good thing when it's an expression of indignation over injustice or sin or wrong. But to be impatient because of our own annoyance or because things are not going our way. And the result of anger and impulsiveness, that's an entirely different matter. A few suggestions would include slow down, stop, look, listen, pray, think, consider, take a deep breath. In fact, it's interesting, this phrase where it says a man who controls his temper, actually, literally, it means a man who controls his breath. You notice when you get impatient or excited or angry, you tend to breathe faster. Your heart rate goes up. Your blood pressure goes up. And they know that that causes that reaction, but also the opposite is true. If we can slow down our breathing, it will relax us, and it will tend to help stifle the tendency and the impulse to be angry. So when someone says, take a deep breath, there's a lot of wisdom in that. It's actually quoting Proverbs 16:32 in a way. Don't feel compelled to always give your opinion. Not everybody wants it anyway. Respond, don't react. Say half of what you really want to. That's a tough one. That's a tough one for me, for sure. Let me share a personal confession. And Marion's out of town this week. She's at the annual gathering of the seven sisters in her family, so she's not here today. So the only way she's going to know this is if you tell her, because I guarantee you she's not going to download the sermon or order the tape. You'll have to trust me on that. But when we have disagreements, I tend to go on longer than I should. Hey, I'm a preacher. You know, what do you expect? But we have this little signal when I've said more than she needs to hear. She just says, you've said enough. So simple, isn't it? You've said enough. And I've learned the hard way over the years that when I've said enough, I've said enough. And at that moment, patience is my friend and will help me to ward off anger and impulsiveness, and the Spirit of God will help me as well. In fact, though we must win this battle alone, the good news is that we don't have to wage the battle alone. We have three sources for help. Here they are. Number one, the Word of God. You see, God wants us to be patient. It's a godly quality. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit. And the Word of God gives a lot of helpful guidance on being patient. Second, the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is patience and self-control. And when the Spirit is in control of your spirit, you're in control of your spirit. It's Spirit-empowered self-control. And third, the people of God. We all have the same struggle. We all struggle with impatience. And accountability and encouragement by brothers and sisters along the way will help us on our journey. Now, those of you who were here last week will hopefully recall that when Clayton Van Cleek closed the service, he said that this week we would have a memory aid of duct tape and WD-40. And, you know, Clayton is a man of his word, and I don't want to compromise his integrity in any way. So I felt a certain compulsion to come up with an illustration, some memory aid, using duct tape and WD-40, but I have to confess, it wasn't easy. But I mentioned a moment ago that there are three sources to help us in this battle with impatience: the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and people of God, us. And so what I did be a lot easier at 10 o'clock because it'll already be out of the bag. What I did was I took some duct tape and I wrote those three things on the duct tape. Okay? Word of God, Spirit of God, people of God. And what I figured I would do is I would take this tape that I'd written this on and I would stick it up somewhere, but I was concerned about the fact that duct tape can mar the walls and furniture. and that when I removed it, I might pull the paint off or the drywall. So what I decided to do was to take the WD-40 and just tape this on the WD-40 like that. I had actually intended to tape it straighter than I did. And this way, it not only protects the wall and the furniture, but the WD-40 is kind of a little display. And so I can just put it up there and remember. So I know it's stretching it, but it was a tough challenge. And I'm hopeful that Clayton won't issue any such challenges in the future, because it puts a lot of pressure and stress on the preacher. The great pianist and composer Paderewski was once asked by a fan how he had reached such a state of musical perfection. The admirer remarked that it must have taken huge amounts of patience. Paderewski said, "Everyone has patience. I learned to use mine. Let's learn to use ours." Let's pray. Lord God, as we continue to go through this series from Proverbs, we repeatedly thank you for the practical wisdom that we find in your word, especially in this section of it. And today, as we've been challenged, each one of us, in this area in which we all struggle, the area of patience. And to not allow patience to rule us or impatience to rule us, but to recognize that the Spirit of God, when we are empowered by the Spirit of God, and the fruit of the Spirit of God will manifest itself in one way, by our being patient. To not allow it to cause us to be angry over things that really don't matter very much, or to be impulsive because we can't wait upon you, and we can't wait long enough to allow things to unfold as they will. And to realize the great resources that we have in this battle. Your word, your Spirit, and your people. May we remember that as we go through this coming week and each week to follow, that we might be empowered by your Spirit to be in control of our own spirits. In one way, being evidenced that we are patient. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.